Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Live. 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 Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality, with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Hello and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, April 19th, 2017, 4 months into this new year. Anyway, good to have everybody with us. We welcome you. Welcome those listening to the archives too. Don't want to leave you out. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit as well as to explore science and spirituality. And of course, helping out as always on this program is Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good to be here. Hello, everyone.
And Michael Kelly doing our production stuff and sometimes on the air, too. Welcome, Michael.
Good evening, everyone. Glad to be here.
I'd like to, as customary, read our 9 principles of belief. We read the abbreviated version of them. It kind of sets the tone for the program and keeps these kind of at the top of the mind awareness. The first one is, do no harm, do right. Number 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6, we are physical and spiritual beings, consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. And if you'd like to read the full version of these, please visit us at metaphysicalhumanism.org. It's good to see so many in the chat room, and if you have a topic you'd like to see discussed tonight, please be sure to put it into the chat room there. We're going to talk about one topic that was brought up, and that is, how do you help somebody with an alcohol addiction? And this would apply to pretty much any addiction. How do you help somebody who's basically hurting themselves with an addiction? And that's not such an easy question to answer simply. The quick answer is you don't. That's the fast answer. But there's some conditions on this too. There's a lot to keep in mind and why. In fact, I wrote a book on this, Alcoholic Relationship Survival Guide. Gosh, it's been 9 years ago now. It's on empoweredrecovery.com. We also have a course that covers it at IMHS, which is M26 on counseling those in addiction-based relationships. And so we'll go over some of the highlights and why. The premise of effectively helping somebody with an alcohol, and we'll talk about alcohol addiction, but it applies to about any addiction. But we'll use alcohol addiction as within the context of this discussion. The thing is that when it comes to alcoholic addiction, and it may seem cold at first to hear this, but you're not responsible for helping them. And this applies to a lot of people, and this is the problem with codependence, is codependents want to help everybody, and codependent people are very strong people that carry the weight of the world on their shoulders, and they're very strong people, and they have a good heart. They want to help people, and those are commendable things. They really are, but it's not a healthy thing. Codependence is not healthy. Codependence is basically doing things for other people that they could and should do for themselves. Doesn't mean you can't do a nice. Just means that you don't want to enable people to continue in an unhealthy pattern. And codependent people basically assume responsibility for the addict, for the alcoholic, and a lot of times save them, the alcoholic, from really accepting responsibility for themselves and their actions. You know, I don't subscribe to the AA method, you know, the 12-step programs, because they're just, there's so many things wrong with them. Where do I even begin? They're not that effective. You know, they basically trade one addiction for another. They talk about a greater power. And, you know, metaphysical humanism teaches there is no greater power than you yourself in terms of significance. And so they end up trading one addiction for another. But I kind of digress. Back to the basic premise of empowered recovery is that you're not responsible for helping them. Now, if they, you can help them help themselves, provided it's not in an unhealthy way. And I'll go back to the definition. Don't do things for other people, adults now we're talking about, who can and should do it for themselves. That's just the thing. They are responsible for their life. They are responsible for the path they're on. And a lot of people say, well, it's a disease. How can they help it? Well, I disagree. I don't think alcoholism or any other addiction is a, quote, disease, unquote. You put a diabetic and an addict on an island and see which one dies first. You see, it's not a disease in the conventional sense. It's a disorder, sure. And they are not powerless over it. Alcoholics exhibit great power over alcohol. They choose when they're going to drink. They hide it all over the place. And they can abstain when it's not in their best interest to drink. And so they exhibit power over alcohol all the time. So that whole powerless crap is just crap, and it doth stinketh to high heaven. It's not real. So don't do things for the people they could and should do for themselves. That's the first step to helping somebody who has an alcohol or any other addiction. They are responsible for them. You are responsible for you. Those are fundamental components to it. So that's the long and short. Now, if you want to learn more, if you're listening to this in the archive, you can read my book, which is the book on alcoholic relationships. And I'm not saying that out of boasting or narcissism or anything. It is the book. And there was a lot of pain that went into writing that. And you can find it on empoweredrecovery.com. Now, if you're an IMHS student, you can also take the course that it's based on. And that's after you completed your counseling coaching course. You can take M26, which is on spiritual counseling or counseling for addiction-based relationships, and it goes right into it. And you go right through the book, in addition to some other audios that we have there, and it takes you right into it. And it's not something you're going to find anywhere else, because it's unique and it's based on personal experience. So I've kind of given an intro here. I know Dr. Hunter has some things to mention as well, and then we'll carry the discussion from there.
Well, no, I'm not going to add much more than that. I think to keep in mind that when you are interacting with people, especially people you really care about, you have to draw your boundaries and decide what kind of boundaries you have. You know, you can talk to somebody as long as they're not loaded. You know, be around them provided they're sober. And again, the question in this case was about a friend. Well, yeah, those are, I think, a little bit easier boundaries to set than family.
Yeah.
Family members it's a different kind of strength that you have to draw up from within to set your boundaries. And, you know, I mean, we could talk about this for a really long time. Other kinds of boundaries, addictions, I would just like to tell everybody a note. We're all an addict to some degree. When something impedes the well-being of your life, then it's harming your life or harming others. And I think that's just something to keep in mind. It's, mm-hmm. It's when something... any kind of an addiction, and look, it can be to anything. If it's excessive, you have to have it. I'm the first one to say I'm an addict. You know, I'm an addict of a lot of things. And I really like running water and toilets and microwaves. And I'm an addict, you know. But I can actually live in the bush with none of the above. So it's just I prefer not to. So, I mean, it's again, we live in a society that says if I lose the power and the power goes out, we're all going to die. That's a serious addiction within the society. So there's varying degrees of addiction. And drugs, different kinds of drugs affect the body and the brain in different ways. Alcohol, you know, and it's all very destructive. So again, right back to what I would just like to say, make sure you know your boundaries and be who you are and walk through the world as best you can. And just know that everybody's got their quirks as long as those
except
things.
Except you and me.
Except you and me, yep.
Yeah, of course.
As long as those so-called quirks or, you know, you know, overindulgences of some things don't bother you or, you know, impede relationships, then it is what it is. People are just people. So I urge some compassion too, but more compassion for yourself in setting the boundaries. So, you know, look, my mother, my mother had five brothers. Four died of sclerosis of the liver from alcoholism. My mother was a bag lady living on the streets. Died of an overdose, certifiable alcoholic. My brother was a cocaine addict, shot himself. I got a long list of addictions in my family. It's just setting those boundaries to say, I love you dearly, but no, you can't come over if you're loaded. You know, no, I'm not going to give you any money, but I'd be happy to feed you. You know, I mean, it's setting up those boundaries. When you have young children in the home, sorry, you're not coming near my kids when you're loaded. So, I mean, so you have to set these varying degrees of what you feel you can manage, I guess. Because you're also living in good conscience. You're a human being who has certain attachments to your family. You love your family. Others, maybe you don't like it. It's easier to detach from them. So it's just, you know, be sensitive to that and be more sensitive toward yourself. But know that if something is destructive, you got to set really strict boundaries. So, you know, we all have a story to tell and we all have our own experiences with all kinds of addictions. So, you know, I just wanted to throw that in there.
Well, good points. You know, and speaking of compassion, yes, you have compassion for alcoholics and addicts. Yes, we do. But the thing is that they're adults and they need to work out their stuff, just like all of us. Nobody's exempt from self-responsibility. So addicts and alcoholics have to work through their stuff. And you know, the old saying, they have to get to rock bottom. And sometimes rock bottom is literally in the grave. And here's really the bottom line of drinking or drugs or gambling or whatever it is you want. The alcoholic has the right of free will to drink themselves into the grave if they choose, and nobody can say or do a thing about it. But on the other hand, if you're in a relationship with an alcoholic, you also have the free will, the choice of free will, to not follow them there. So if anybody listening to this is in an alcoholic relationship with somebody, I'm going to tell you, you need to read Empowered, the Alcoholic Relationship Survival Guide at empoweredrecovery.com. You're not alone, but you think you are. And there's so much psychology to all of this. And if you've got kids, then you need to get them out of that kind of a dysfunctional, toxic relationship. And they all are. And I speak from experience, folks. This is not just stuff I've read. I've lived it. I know what I'm talking about when it comes to alcoholic relationships. Absolutely. And that's why you need to educate yourself on it in a healthy way. And I mean, you can go to Al-Anon, but basically Al-Anon teaches you, is extremely good at teaching you detachment. But basically detachment is just a temporary thing. It's basically evading responsibility. It's part of denial, you know. Denial, my definition of denial is lying to yourself to evade responsibility. And if you're in a bad situation like that or with anybody, you have a choice. I mean, you got a problem. You have a choice. You can take care of the problem now, or you can suffer longer and still take care of the problem later. But either way, you will take care of it eventually, or you'll die from the pain. So that's your choice. And a lot of times somebody might drink. They might even be a heavy drinker. That doesn't make them an alcoholic. And we might think, well, they have a drinking problem. Well, the crux of the question is, and Dr. Hunter alluded to this, is their drinking or drugging, whatever it is they're doing, is their drinking causing problems in the family or in the relationship? If the answer is yes, then you've got some decisions to make, because you cannot continue on in that. And I'll tell you, every single person that has come through an alcoholic relationship, and I've helped numerous people do this over the years, numerous, every single one, after they got through it, got away from it, they couldn't understand why it took them so long. They never understood how great life could be without that heavy burden over their heads, or clouds over their heads. So these are some good points to keep in mind. And I do want to say that this discussion is in no way meant to come off as judgmental toward the person asking the question or anybody else who may be in it, in a situation like this. I was in it for a majority part of my life. It took me a long time. It took me 40 years to figure it out. So, and it's hard. I won't say it's not hard, but it's doable, and you can do this. And so there's no judgment here. There's no anger. There's no, putting somebody down for the question or for even being in that situation. But you do have some decisions to make. And if it's just a casual relationship, you got some decisions to make. If it's a family or an intimate relationship, you got decisions to make.
You know, I might like to add here that, and I was just talking to another health specialist about this about 2 weeks ago. Alcohol, if you have that kind of predisposition, the alcohol affects it will attack one of three organs in the body. And generally we know about the liver or the heart, but the other one is the brain. And if alcohol has attacked someone's brain, just know that there's no way you can help them. It's like, and I tell you this from experience, my mother developed mental illness. Her heart was perfectly fine, and her liver was perfectly fine. My father died of a heart attack, alcohol-related. But again, he'd had heart surgeries. My mother's brothers, it was their liver. But my mother, it was her brain, so it was brain damage. I mean, she was diagnosed at about in her 40s of having the mentality of someone in their early teens. So she had lesser capabilities. She couldn't make healthy decisions, put it that way. So it was just in and out of rehab centers and so on. So it's, and again, I say this with compassion, because now we're not dealing with so much addiction. We're dealing with mental illness. Mm-hmm. And so I really, we set up our boundaries. You can help where you can. You protect what you can, and, just send lots of white lights and, be of service where you can without bringing harm to yourself or to others. So I just wanted to clarify, that little point about alcohol. It will eventually deteriorate the entire body, of course, and the behaviors just become really erratic and kind of nuts, it's just, again, to have that sense of understanding of what you might be looking at. And if you know somebody who's really over the edge with alcohol, you could, and we're all intuitive people here, most are, you can kind of sense what's happening and what kind of deterioration is going on. That doesn't mean there's a lot you can do about it. Matter of fact, honestly, it's none of our business.
What you can do about it. Yeah. But you got to take precautions to protect yourself and your family in the case of an alcoholic relationship. So it's a good point. It's something that needs to be discussed from time to time. And I wish we could literally use up several programs talking about all the different aspects of an alcoholic relationship or an addiction-based relationship. So Anyway, again, for more information, visit empoweredrecovery.com. It's unlike anything else out there. And gosh, it's been, how long has it been now? I developed Empowered Recovery back in 2001. It's been 16 years. It's a long time. All right. Now, we're going to, if anybody else has a topic you'd like to discuss, please put it in the chat room right away. If not, we're going to go on to cards. We're going to do a five-card draw as we do. And then if you'd like a card pulled for yourself, please put your name in the chat. Have Michael make a list, and we'll get to those in a minute. Dr. Hunter, you want to pull a card? I don't know. It's up to you whether you want to do five at once or one at a time. I'll let you decide.
I just pulled one. Okay. It's number 29. Pay it forward.
Good.
That was a good one. Living with gratitude and responsibility extends generosity to others, even with random acts of kindness that offer no self-benefit except the satisfaction of heartfelt kindness. This may be a time to calm the spirit and lift the heart by giving forward without any particular reason, reminding yourself that love is the center of all life. Is there a way you can pay it forward right now? A good one.
Paying it forward is one of our sacred obligations, too. You know, doing something nice for someone and not expecting a return. What's the next card?
I just turned another one. Number 12. In the existential suit, and that's... Oh, you know, we haven't picked this one for a while. Spirit, cosmos, and divine energy.
Hmm.
Yeah. Drawing this card indicates the evolving relationship you have with your own inner spirit or higher self within the context of the greater universe. You are growing your relationship with the cosmic consciousness. Continue to observe and appreciate the interconnectedness of all life forms within the fabric of life and the important role you and they play.
So we're talking about paying it forward. We're talking about basically, spirit, cosmos, divine energy. At this point, you know, paying it forward should be a part of our core values, should be part of that, our own inner cosmos, if you will. I like that expression.
Yeah, I think that, you know, if you put those two together, that, you know, giving forward, being generous, kind, that is... in the collective consciousness. That's where we're all connected, so why wouldn't we? You know?
Yeah.
So the next one I just picked is expediency, number 43. This is a different kind of story to tell, isn't it? Yeah. Timing is everything. Some things call for expediency. Others require us to slow down. If you have a problem, you can take care of it now or suffer longer and still take care of it later. It takes courage to face important matters when timing and opportunity avails, and the wisdom to know when to slow down to access the correct actions before acting promptly. For success in anything, do what you should do when you should do it.
So that's cool. So pay it forward should be part of your, you know, inner cosmos, your core values. And when you get an opportunity, be about it. Be on it.
Well, and for the fourth draw here, balance and order, number 8, and that's in the Life Leadership Paragon suit. With this card, balance and order in life or in a specific area is present or it needs to be. If experiencing adversity, look for what is out of its proper order. Adversity is a state of disorder. Once order is restored, adversity fades. Moreover, self-completeness and success will ensue once order and balance are restored to the Life Leadership Paragon areas of self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will.
So that, the thought that comes to me on that card is when we are paying it forward, make sure that we're not doing something for somebody that they could and should do for themselves. We also have to have balance and order to our spirit of paying it forward.
Well, you know, and just as in this snapshot and picking five cards, the last one I chose is number 35. One planet, one race, one ancestry, and one destiny. Divine energy lives in all things. Diversity in nature and among humanity is not an evolutionary mistake. It's an evolutionary constant. This card advocates equality, peace, unity, healthy life skills, higher consciousness, and spiritual enlightenment. It is critical for our spiritual evolution that we display tolerance and equality toward others as well as ourselves. Remember, you're of divine energy.
Good. So that kind of puts things in the bigger perspective that we're all in this thing together, folks. We're all trying to make it. We need to help each other. And don't forget that one of the greatest ways we can help one another is to just give an encouraging word, you know, encourage other people, because that's one of the things that is so lacking is just encouragement. And so try to be encouraging as much as possible, and that's a great way to pay it forward.
Well, now, if Michael wants to join us, are you there, Michael? Would you like to choose a card for Simran?
Hey, yeah, Michael's coming on.
Be more than happy to. All right. And I've pulled wild card number 8, freedom.
Love that.
Freedom is a state of being. It is an unencumbered mind that can remain open and move forward. Freedom is the ability to recreate the self, shedding old ideas that no longer serve any purpose for present and future evolution. Freedom is the knowing of who and what one is as a free and sovereign being of the universe. Freedom means one can be or do anything one wants within the limits of do no harm and do right.
That's a great message for you, Simran. I love that. It's really powerful. Freedom. It's exciting. So I guess we have Wendy next. Michael, if you want to take the helm there. Wendy.
Absolutely, and Wendy. All right, I pulled number 6, boundaries.
I don't even know what to say about that. Wendy, that, I mean, are these cards cool or what?
Let's see. This card represents boundaries. It's important for you to establish clear boundaries for yourself. Equally, it is necessary to be aware of others and not overstep or encroach on their boundaries. This is a mark of self-complete individual. Reassess and assertively protect your healthy boundaries while looking to see if you are overstepping elsewhere. Begin with asking yourself, who owns me?
So, it's amazing how these cards come up when we had a big discussion on boundaries.
It's absolutely great. And I think I hope that had a good meaning, but very important topic too. It goes right back to that codependency.
Yeah, it sure does. You know, Fran, I just picked one for you. As you see, you're next on our list, so I went ahead here, and, you know, it's number one. Huh. Number one of the entire deck, which is perfection.
Mm-hmm.
Always remember that you are perfect just as you are, a perfect work in progress, always changing and growing. Today is a reflection of past choices, and tomorrow is changeable by choices made today. This card may indicate that a situation is either perfect or not perfect for you. Embrace all mistakes as they are vital to your growth while striving for a better future. Reflect to see what contributes to your perfect journey and move forward gracefully. I love that
one. Card. And you know, I didn't mention it. I try to remember to mention this just in case people who are new or listening to the archives don't understand it. These cards are coming from our inner oracle card deck. They're self-discovery cards. They basically contain pretty much all of the teachings of metaphysical humanism, which is basically what we teach in our curriculums at our schools. So if anybody's interested, they can just visit metaphysicalhumanism.org and look for the menu. On the menu bar, look for the store, and you can get a deck of your own. So who's next?
Tabitha. Michael, do you want to grab one for Tabitha?
Oh, absolutely. and this is a fantastic card. It's wild card number 2, and then some.
Yeah.
That's a absolutely great principle to live your life by. When you have reached your limits and believe you have done all that you can do, reach deep within to stretch your true potential. Do a little more than is needed and go beyond what is required to make a positive difference. You can do it. By doing so, you are leaving the woodpile a little higher than you found it.
I just want to mention something too. This is such an incredible thought. You know, whatever you're doing, just add a little bit more. Go a step further. And you can do this in a lot of ways. And I'll tell you, it's been one of my secrets. One of the things I've used for many years, and it doesn't matter what I'm doing. It could be writing a course. And, you know, in a lot of courses that we have, contain, especially in the counseling courses and hypnosis and some others, there's a lot of forms, some of the paranormal courses, a lot of different forms that I've created to go along with it and to make the student's life easier as a practitioner. I didn't have to do that. I didn't have to put those forms in there, but they really add to it. And that's just one example. You know, there's a lot of graphics, and when I'm doing graphic design for whatever it is, it could be to make a point in the course, it could be whatever, logo, it could be anything. I always try to, you almost got to tease out the design, or you got to tease it out. You know, you got to work with it. You got to do a little bit. And I always ask myself, does it need anything further? Can I do a little better here and there? And it's whether it's in the writing, it doesn't matter what you're doing. Can you do it just a little bit better? And then some, can you go just a little bit further? You know, like if you're writing doing an assignment, if you're a student at one of our schools and you're doing an essay or an assignment, you know, can you make it just a little better? And what about presentation, you know, on the page, you know, cosmetic presentation on the assignment page? You know, if your fonts are all different sizes and your margins are not even, it looks cluttered and it tells me something, you know, but if your assignment's well written and it's proofed and the margins are correct, that also tells me something, you know, and it looks good and it's professional. And that's one of the things we try to teach our students, you know, be professional, because wherever you write and whatever you release, whatever you distribute that you've written or you've created is a representation of you, and people will judge you rightly or wrongly on that. They will. And so make it as good as you can, and so just do, and then some. And of course, on my assignment templates, I make it easy to do that. You know, if follow the instructions, and your assignment look beautiful when it's done. So, anyway, just a thought there.
Michael, do you want to grab one for Taz?
Absolutely. All right. And Taz, for you, I pulled number 37. Groundedness. Remain grounded by looking for evidence that supports or refutes claims or beliefs. Have a compelling and defensible basis for your beliefs, especially esoteric beliefs. An absence or denial of evidence does not assure a truthful conclusion. Be willing to examine beliefs, assumptions, and opinions, and weigh them against facts. Suspend judgment until you have considered all the facts or have more facts to uncover. Adjust opinions when new facts are found.
You know, this is really talking about critical thinking, and critical thinking is not passive thinking, it's active thinking and reading or whatever. It means just think about it and, you know, arrive at your own conclusions, find out the facts, and if something doesn't feel right, gain more data, you know, learn more about it, and then, so use critical thinking and keep your head on your shoulders and your feet on the ground, and that's one of the things that differentiates our schools from a lot of metaphysical schools, that we emphasize being objective and grounded. Doesn't mean you have to be closed-minded, just means don't follow the latest fad in thinking, don't harbor beliefs because they're popular, if they're not grounded in some kind of defensible reality, you know, be grounded. And I'm not directing this at specifically at Taz. This is just general comments to everybody.
Well, I went ahead and pulled one here for Dr. Frank. And number 21. This is for you, Frank. Wisdom is, pardon me, it's insight and wisdom, if you didn't catch on already. Wisdom is the successful application of knowledge using experience and understanding. Insight is discernment in seeing the underlying truth. This may be a time to look deep into your inner character and underlying truth to understand motives and reasons. Insight, wisdom, and acceptance of the true nature of a present situation or individual is necessary to gain a deeper understanding as well as to discover potential solutions. Good one.
Yeah, that's good. I don't really have anything to add beyond what's written.
Nope, good one. So do you want to grab one for Teresa, Michael, please?
Absolutely. And let's see, I'm pulling from the middle of the deck this time. Teresa, I pulled number 11, awareness. Every human being has a responsibility to increase their awareness for fulfillment and peaceful coexistence. People generally do the best they can according to their current level of awareness, knowledge, and experience and resources. This card may indicate that an increased awareness in some area is needed. Continue to increase your awareness of self and others through observation, acquired knowledge, and a positive attitude.
You know, that's the name of the game. That's why we do these programs. That's why we have the schools, is to increase awareness in students and people, listeners. And that's what we're all trying to do. As we grow older, as we get experience, that's all experience is. It's increased awareness, isn't it? I mean, that's all it is. And that's what we all should be striving to do, is to increase our awareness. And with that comes a higher sense of spirituality, a higher sense of enlightenment. And that's what we're all trying to do, is basically raise our awareness. That's what we're trying to do for the world, too. Raise the awareness of the public. That's what we're, in a nutshell, that's all we do, is strive to raise awareness.
Well, now I think Jeff is the last one on our list here, and I went ahead and just pulled one for you, Jeff. The meaning of life, which is number 23, meaning and purpose. The meaning of life is built upon values and beliefs and remains constant. The purpose of life is the action plan for the meaning of life. The purpose can change. A sense of purpose always evolves. The question is not, what is the purpose of life? Rather, it's, what's the purpose of my life? True fulfillment comes when embracing your heart's desire with both meaning and a renewed sense of purpose to fulfill that meaning. This card can also relate to the meaning or purpose of a specific situation or the lack thereof. So I hope you can relate to that in some way, Jeff.
And that's another thing. That's kind of what we're all trying to do, is find that purpose, find that meaning. And it's harder for some than others, but you know, if you can figure out what brings meaning to your life, that's the first step. Then you can figure out how you're going to go about bringing about that meaning, which is your purpose. So that's the long and the short of that one.
Is there anybody else that is on, that's put their name down that we didn't get?
I don't think so. Dr. Hunter, actually, if you could, I would actually appreciate a card myself tonight.
I'd be happy to. All right, just
don't pull the death card.
We never should have put that one in.
That would be birth. That's what that would be. Yeah. Okay, I'm getting one for you, Michael. Energy shift, new chapter. Didn't you pull that one last time?
You know, I actually think I did.
Boy, that's resonating. I think that. You know, and just to keep in mind, when something repeats like that, even a week or two or three apart, it just means that there's a time period. There tends to flow of energy. You know, energy shifts or changes don't happen in one day, because there's layers to life, right? All these different layers. And sometimes everything has to synchronize, like biorhythms. So I'll read this. Number 14, energy shift, new chapter. Energy shifts are a natural result from increased awareness, knowledge, and new attitudes with that naturally open one's new chapters to one's life. It's an excellent time to clarify your vision during this time of shifting energy. Reflect, gather your energy, breathe, and step forward with a renewed sense of direction. Out with the old and in with the new. Making us curious there, Michael.
Well, it is astonishingly accurate, quite frankly, given the recent events.
Wow. Yeah. All good, I'm
That's
assuming.
That's a cool thing about these cards that, you know, one could argue that no matter what card you pull, it's going to mean something to somebody. But, you know, the thing that makes it so interesting is that, while that's true, so often the cards that are pulled don't just have some meaning, but they have a big meaning for the person in their current circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
I never expected that.
And I was just reflecting on the card, too. And it's strange because even changes and shifts in energy patterns and shifts in directions of our lives, they might at first seem to be, confrontational, or they might seem to be negative or something that you really don't want or you didn't expect and you wouldn't have asked for. But frankly, out of such things, really surprising benefits and surprisingly good things can come of it.
Mm-hmm.
We just have to keep an open mind to what the future can hold.
You know, and that can kind of bring us full circle back around to our discussion on alcoholic relationships and addiction-based relationships, is that, as I mentioned earlier, that so many people who are in the throes of it, it's hard to even see any bright sky, you know, sunshine beyond. It's like you're just in this dense, dark fog, and you don't know which direction to go. And then once you get through it, you realize that it was a huge life lesson, lots of experience, your awareness is raised, and you wonder why you didn't do it sooner. And there's tons and tons of new opportunities after that. So, you know, but you can't see that beforehand, but it's vivid afterward. And so, just interesting. So, we'll start wrapping up the program for tonight. We talked about a lot of things in addition to addiction-based relationships. We talked about paying it forward, about the inner cosmos, divine energy, expediency, balance and order, you know, equality in the one planet, one race card. And we talked about freedom, boundaries, perfection, and then some as a concept, groundedness, insight and wisdom, awareness, meaning and purpose, energy shift and chapter. And so lots and lots of things to think about. And that's, again, the purpose of this program is to get you thinking, you know, hopefully to provoke you to thought, disturb you to action that's beneficial for you and your highest good and those around you as well. So hopefully you've benefited from this program tonight, as always. And if you know somebody who could benefit, turn them on to it. Let them know about it. We appreciate it. So, again, thanks to everybody who's tuned in, those in the live chat, those that are listening but are not in the live chat, we appreciate you too. Those that are listening to the archives, we appreciate that. Thanks to Dr. Hunter, as always, and Michael for helping out. And until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.